Morning, Graham. Sorry I took a while to get you. How are you?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Did you find yourself pulling something of an all-nighter, or were you able to take a leisurely stroll into the morning's proceedings?
Oh no, I went to bed.
You're very wise. For some reason, I didn't find myself quite able to. There were other two extraneous events, but it's been quite a night. And one of the people I heard was Mal this morning on our good friends, as they say, at Riverside Radio, who finds himself, as predicted by Leone last weekend, as Kingmaker. So
Very good.
it's gone to no overall control. The Labour had the largest share of the vote. The Tories have not quite enough to make a majority. Apparently, the outgoing mayor, and he still is outgoing until the next council meeting, a Labour member, Jeremy Ambash, has a casting vote in terms of the makeup of new the new local government. But at the same time, Mal has a delicately negotiable role in terms of approaches from both parties. He seems to, historically, he worked with the Tories, so he's been saying, or his agent was saying, to my colleagues on the station there, that he might well sway in that direction. In terms of wanting more financial transparency and also less blocking of his own contribution procedurally.
So it looks very, it's very good for him. He was elected
He
again.
very much was. He had the largest last time. He had the largest majority of any London local councillor, and he's increased that majority to, I think, nearly 4,200.
Extraordinary.
Quite extraordinary, isn't it? But within his ward,
Leon is doing almost as well now.
I believe so. I've not heard, in actual fact. I did have managed to have a power nap, and I didn't quite catch the general doings in Merton, but we do have a Labour majority there now, whereas it was thought that the Lib Dems were going to have a decent showing of the night. Ed Davey was going to show up, I think, and he didn't in the end. But the Lib Dems have completely taken Sutton, yes, they have, bar one, and they've have completely taken Richmond and one or two other places too.
Oh, that's pretty good. Not going for reform or the
Well,
Greens.
this is the thing, isn't it? From what I can make out, Graham, again, I'm by no means the expert. Since Mal and the Only would be good to have along in the mix, but you'll make a sage judgment on this. They're picking up seats, but they're also in situations largely of no overall control, except, I think, well, even in Hartlepool, where they've got 17 new seats. And the indignity there of the local Labour MP watching his wife lose her seat as the leader of the council, having been a fierce advocate for Starmer to go, says, well, basically saying, I told you so, but also seeing, I suppose, the partial collapse of a lifestyle, a political lifestyle.
Yeah, I think he's going to hang on.
Do you? Because, I mean, every time that a council falls, and there have been six of them, Southampton just went, people are doing a sort of almost rehearsed askance look. I mean, the knives have been out for him for some time, haven't they? Since Mandelson and well before that,
Yeah, but I
Savile
think
perhaps even.
it's just the press, the media, they've just picked up this game of getting rid of ministers, and the Prime Minister's the biggest one to get rid of.
You're
I
quite
think
right. You're quite right.
they.
It's a performance. It's like football managers, isn't it? They lose a match, and then the heads must roll.
Well, it's a kind of laziness. It's a game, so they don't have to look at all the rest of the news in the world, and just concentrate on this manufactured anti-Sama. It's not totally, of course, it's based on a bit of, but it's exaggerated, I think.
I always found it's not quite the same thing at all, but when at my brief period in semi-professional arts marketing, I was told people love a competition. And I thought, well, yes, in the middlebrow sense, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you extend that, so much of the format of what we see on the tube, as Alastair Cook used to say, or in the press, to, you know, even into the broadsheet level, is based on this idea of competing, apparently diametric forces rather than those of cooperation. And one of the things that Mao was saying is that there, for him as an independent, there hasn't been much of the way of cooperation from the Labour administration. They've locked him out of things. And you compare that with what goes on with Leone in the London Assembly, it's quite a stark contrast.
The Labour administration is locking Starmer out.
Not Starmer, no, they're locking someone in Mao's position. And and let's not make this ad hominem, but it's a procedural thing. And basically, it's not allowing, it's guillotine debate, which is something that they started to do. I'm trying to think whether it was a Tory invention or a Labour invention. I think it was a Labour invention. But it certainly, in one peculiar instance, led to the guillotining of debate where the Tories were in power. Now, Lal will have to refresh our memory on this. And perhaps next week, in the light of the conversations that he's had. But he's going to, he's in, one of the things he's in the position to do is insist on the reversion of this principle so that full hearing is heard for all parties with something substantive to say.
Yeah, I think there's a general problem with gaming the system, and they get more interested in the game than the function.
Yes,
The new.
it seems a bit boyish on the face of it, doesn't it? But if you think about the fact that they, sorry to interrupt you, that the Palace of Westminster is this sort of floating island of particularity, a bit like, say, a military encampment is on the edge of a city. Sometimes they take over, you know, but these people govern us, but they govern us by procedures which are, well, repay study, but they are necessarily complex. And they may feel so complex that there's a sense of what? A sense of you know, gained entitlement.
Yeah, I think it's generally worldwide, a sort of response to the technology. It has to be,
Yeah.
because it's happening everywhere, so it's not a local phenomena. So it has to be the machine, has to be the algorithms that are just changing people into this competitive stance rather than cooperative,
It's
which
interesting because I mean, I think in our, you know, our younger years, we've seen wars of attrition over at the dispatch box in Prime Minister's Questions. But are you saying that there was a certain wit, sportsmanship, a love of language, as it were, that was invested in this, and some as it were, philosophy behind it that is now been sort of stripped away and turned into the, as you say, the ad, or as I was saying, I suppose the ad hominem and the purely manipulative and the spin, and that is related to the possibility of technology winning the day. I remember an independent character, a candidate in the States called Ross Perot, advocating for electronic voting, which is now, courtesy of one Elon Musk over there, a distinct possibility.
Well, it's ignoring the effects, the side effects, the unforeseen effects, or unintended consequences of the changing to a technology.
That must do something to the political experience, mustn't it?
The whole basis of democracy and the law. You have to get up and speak in the courts. It's all verbal. The paperwork is done before to prepare people, but in the end, it comes down to speaking verbally, which is a far different experience than looking at computer screens.
Thank goodness. I mean,
Well, exactly. And you face to face, you get far more cooperation than you do competition. Whereas in the machine, you tend to get far more competition, I think. It's a curious effect, but it seems it's like being in a car. You said you suddenly turn into this road hog.
People do, don't they? When there's this imperative that's obstructed by a lot of other people trying to do the same thing, but with no apparent common interest.
Well, when you don't have the human contact, because the
Yeah.
human contact picks up a multitude of other signs apart from the speech. And so it's a much richer exchange. But now communication is being diminished so much digitally that you're getting, for example, the newspaper journalists just say yes or no answer, yes or no answer. I mean, that's all they want is yes or
Yeah.
no. When, of course, issues are far more complex than yes or no answers. So I think it is definitely a technology impact issue, and of course, it's the catching up with the law and behavior and etiquette and social behavior is always way behind the technology. The technology giants always say this is the new, it's the latest, you have to have it, there's no stopping progress, and all the rest of it. It's just sales pitch to sell new technology. and it's very successful. The worst example being Peter Thiel. And the way
Yeah.
Palantir has taken over the Ministry of Defence and the Ministry of Health in the UK. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, indeed. There appears to be a breakout clause, and I think that there appear to be, certainly the local level, as they say, concerns about the extent of this. And a petition came my way last week. I suppose I shouldn't say which way. I certainly welcome the fact that it was there. They put it that way, so that there seem to be channels by which this form of lobbying can force a debate, and whereby the body of signatures on one of these petitions is registered as being in the public interest to provoke debate, and questions need to be asked about, say, a Wes Streeting, or indeed. The Defence Ministry, and that the curious ambivalence towards Elbit Systems, and the fact that we've effectively, technology manufactured on British soil by whoever is being used to kill Gazans.
Well, I think that's what and of course, then all the people protesting are put in the complainer box and dismissed, and they have to go on the street, and then they're classed as political activists or something. So they lose the dialogue of democracy, except, of course, the street protests are also a fundamental brick in the democracy.
Yes, and noticeably not technology led, unless you count the computer modelling that might contribute to things like kettling and sort of police expectations of how these things might proceed. There's been a particular point of interest in the say interest of the Nakba commemoration led by John McDonnell has been cancelled in favour of Tommy Robinson.
What?
Yes,
Well,
indeed. Yeah,
yeah,
it's been, well,
that's
cancelled, postponed,
yeah.
and of course it's on that particular anniversary. So there's a tacit political judgment going on there that sounds, on the face of it, partisan, doesn't it?
And I think this is what will get rid of Starmer, because he seems to be in that on that side. I mean, his meetings in New York with Palantir and Trump. Of course, Trump was he seems to be handling Trump, but he may be giving concessions that are wildly negative.
And indeed, I mean, the tacit suggestion here is that Trump is sort of in the is the puppet of Netanyahu, and a sort of continuum of elements like Elbit systems.
America and Israel are destroying themselves. I mean, they've got into this stalemate in the Hormuz, Straits of Hormuz.
Or the Strait of Trump, as we I gather they have been interim renamed on an interim basis on Truth Social.
Well, Trump's grave.
Well, politically perhaps, but
Yeah,
he's
he's going to be drowned in the Straits of Hormuz.
oh, isn't it
His
a finer way to go?
responses, though, his responses
It's like a
coming out
Viking funeral, isn't it? It's a cast
same
adrift on
old
a
thing.
longboat. Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to make some gambling money on the stock exchange for his mates. Saying, "Oh, we got an agreement, so the price goes down, so everyone sells." And then when the price is down, they all buy, and up it goes again.
Yeah.
And it's becoming so transparent. It'll get through to the American public, even MAGA, I think. I think even MAGA is splitting. You're getting a lot of quite well prominent figures, I think, now that are
There's a certain amount
realizing.
of you know, that
The
hair shirt, rugged, sort of post throw individualism. Is one thing, but it's when the very, very basic systems are not there, or at least are unattended.
Well, of course, the turning point is when the mention of Trump doesn't help them get re-elected, and so they then stop supporting him, obviously.
I think you're entirely right, Graham. That seems to be what's beginning to happen, ever so quietly, lest you know, lest the emperor be offended by basic reality.
As soon as they realize they're going to lose their seat because of Trump, then they're going to switch straight away. So it could collapse pretty quickly.
But it still leaves, doesn't it? It still leaves the rest of the Western world in a precarious position, NATO in a precarious position. If there's one thing, it has been suggested that this sort of type of right-wing administration flourishes on, it is uncertainty. There's a climate of financial fear, and you know that you know the other end of this capriciousness or ultra-responsiveness, depending on how you spin it.
Well,
And
it's
it gets to the point, sorry to cut you there, where the people that Trump was seeking to find immediate assistance from the Strait of Hormuz had no notion, no prior notice of what he was doing. So therefore, they're not cooperating, and that includes the Saudis.
and they're saying, we just can't trust you. You lie. We don't know what you're saying. We don't know what you really mean. You could be tricking us. So how can we negotiate? I mean, this is the consequences are coming home to roost. That's why he can succeed for a bit in the bullying tactics, but in the end, you lose big time because he's destroying the international world order. So it affects everyone. I mean,
That's his point.
I think the only sort of positive aspect is that it is, in a way, unifying the world because the whole world is experiencing the same event. And now
Yes.
the Strait of Hormuz has clarified everything so clearly that might is not the most powerful. Because it is, they realize that with a regime like in Iran, where they don't mind if all the people get killed, because as long as they remain in power, and they're perfectly happy to kill the people themselves.
And there is this extraordinary performative loyalty that there is out there. Presumably because people are in a state of sort of Brezhnev era Soviet fear, indeed Putin era Soviet fear, that itself is sort of playbooked. There's also the small matter of the likes of Shell having apparently made humongous profits out of this very crisis. So, as you say, nests are feathered. But some of these nests, I mean, Shell's a Dutch company, isn't it, for example? They've been
Anglo-Dutch,
successfully
yeah.
taken to court by climate activists over their shenanigans in Africa, but they're still rolling along very nicely.
Well, this is the whole point that I mean the for it is a fossil fuel competition, if you like, because it's economic, but it gets expressed in the war allegiances. That's why Russia or Trump is allying with Russia rather than Ukraine, because he thinks he can make more money out of Russia in his oil deals. And the same with the whole of the Middle East. He went all around the Middle East because they've got all the money and the oil.
It's kind of you'd survive me something, Graham. Thinking about my ex is in Odessa right now, and glad to say she's all right, but the bombs have gone rather close to where she is anyway. But the potential there was for a vast Halliburton style rebuild in cities like Kharkiv that have taken such a major hit, and it rather implies that that's a little bit off the table if he's losing interest, is it?
But they may be blessed because I mean the his promise to rebuild Gaza, for instance, would be a disaster. So it's that's the destruction. Things when things don't work, I mean, they go down. You have to keep progressing in a way. And I think I don't know whether Israel and America have realized it. I mean, surely there's lots of people, inhabitants, who realize it.
I think quite a few Israelis who weren't able to get into the shelters, for example, were and realizing that places south of Tel Aviv, where incidentally it's been National Enquirer territory, possibly, it's been suggested that the Monje Epstein Esquire is alive and well. Anyway, having been sort of spirited away, but be that as it may, people are
Well, her.
noticing they're not getting equal access to. The ability to defend themselves and their property. They're not really being taken care of by the local police forces either, particularly. That's because the resources are so stretched.
Yeah, but there is apartheid
That too, very much so, Graham, yes.
in yeah. I mean, Haaretz is very good newspaper.
I just noticed that. I've not really consulted it before. Say more about that, would you?
Well, they have excellent articles, I mean, and they're pretty accurate as to what is actually going on in Israel.
It's a sort of Israeli Guardian on a good day kind of thing.
Well, yeah, you could say that, but their analysis is very good.
Do you think they are moving towards a description of the end time for the Zionist sort of Confederate?
Well, I think it is inevitable in the sense that it doesn't work.
Yes.
When things don't work fundamentally, you have to go through all the pain of the destruction.
And the desperate sort of, as it were, plate spinning to try and keep the show on the road that has clearly started to look a bit vainglorious.
Which is it's clearly propaganda. I mean, and this the censorship of any discussion, or not allowing journalists in, and no freedom of the press. Of course, the Haaretz and Israeli papers still have a freedom, presumably, but not allowing the foreign press in.
It's a curious anomaly, Haaretz, isn't it? Repays looking into, but you're right. I think the threat to the free press has been, for some over here, is one levelled by Mahmoud, the Starmer Home Secretary, as much as it is by Leverton and Hexeth in the States, and the seeking to own, particularly the humongous prospect of US media ownership, but more or less coming down to about 1.5 megaliths. You know, TikTok, CNN, CBS, Paramount, Skydance, all merging into the Ellison continuum that basically has done Trump a lot of favors.
Yeah, and they're all based on anti-Marxism, which so it's not functioning either. Because I think in the end, Marx, the system doesn't work because you can't have a rigid system. It has to be a flexible pluralist system to work.
I suppose where we hear this is the Cuban conundrum, isn't it? And that's of various other places. And the Venezuelan hybrid as was seemed to work fairly well, but then what was leveled at it was that Maduro was making it work so well he was creaming stuff off.
Yeah, well, that's the corruption effect of power.
But of course,
But
they wouldn't know anything about that in the White House, now, would they?
yeah,
All
but
the Kremlin, perish the thought.
the operation, I mean, this stock market scam is demonstrating that the whole system is corrupt. So it's going to fail from failure in a way,
It's
because this
interesting you
is
say that because, yeah, yes.
that's the theory of the failure of civilizations is
So ironic, isn't
when.
it? Yeah. I mean, people are talking about Starmer again. People as we've been implying, he does seem to be sort of very heavily influenced by certain parties in terms of his actions, like the Board of Deputies, for example, which some Jewish people dispute the provenance and disproportionate importance assigned to them in sort of the British political culture. Anyway, be that as it may, also that these early gaffes and payola that emerged, and some of the things he might have been lent on not to do when he was Attorney General. I mean, his apparently waving through of any concern about Savile being one thing. That no one's suggesting that he's sort of higher, but at the same time, he's not all that often made the right call or exercised any more than the relaxed attitude to earning a great deal of money that his old friend Mandelson had.
Well, yeah, I think he certainly is losing for his association with Mandelson, because he wasn't a friend, and he's nothing to do with Mandelson's dishonesty. So, which I think will save him for a short time. I think they'll maybe have a new prime minister unless he changes. Unless he suddenly declares we're going back into the European Union, for
Well,
example.
that's what he's doing, isn't it, actually? I mean, there's some editorial
Is
about that from Philip Rycroft, amongst others. The guy
it? Well,
who's
that could save
masterminded
him.
our exit.
Yeah, that could save him. I mean, absolutely.
It's that big.
If he, as a lawyer, realizes the legal right we have to go back in without a referendum. And
Which
without,
you have gently pointed out on a number of occasions.
well, you have to keep repeating because it's ignored. And this is the nature of politics, is you have to keep on repeating stuff.
We would have to audition again, wouldn't we? And it begs the question. I mean, obviously,
No, we wouldn't.
across
We
Europe,
wouldn't have to. We
we wouldn't
wouldn't
have
have
to
to.
audition again because
No.
the notorious thing, and it may be my complete misconception and some of the implication here. And I suppose this is. It, this, they would say that, wouldn't they? Is that this is going to be an awful lot of hard labour and will take time, but I'm sure it'll be worth it. Thus, I suppose, implying the fact that people may feel it's more trouble than it's worth, particularly in a changed political world.
No, but the point is that you can make the legal decision to go back in, and then we're in already immediately.
Implicitly in,
No,
and then we negotiate our way through it, right? Anyway. Yeah.
well, no, we don't have to negotiate with the other members. This is the whole point legally. We can go back unilaterally declaring that we're now in the European Union again. Based on arguments from the Vienna Convention
It's
on
literally
Human
like solving a, may they be non-existent in your household. I'm sure they are. It's like solving a relationship, isn't it? Darling, I'm sorry. And then it's okay.
Rights. Well, yes, exactly. Yeah, things can change instantaneously. And for some reason, politicians don't want this to be known. I
Such a
can't believe
racist, isn't
that
it?
they don't. I can't believe they don't know. Or they may be being all advised by Brexit lawyers, because the Brexit lawyers were very instrumental in Brexit, so they may still be there trying to hold it in for their own benefit.
So to speak. Is there, I mean, we talked so eloquently about the British Constitution, and you make the point volumely that it can coexist with the way that the EU is designed, which of course was a partially British invention, I suppose, wasn't it, post-war?
I think we made the major contribution to the formation once we got in. We're very good. I mean, on that sort of thing
So
with law.
British lawmakers, civil servants, central to this process then.
Yeah, the lawmakers are hugely respected, and I think the lawyers for Brexit was sort of a rump minority.
And they
The
must, presumably,
whole
the likings of
profession.
this world must know the counter arguments, and just now they're finding it politic to just hint at their existence again.
Well, I think it seems to be happening that immediately someone suggests going back. They say, "Oh no, you can't do that," and then it will take so long, and it'd be too much work. It's exactly the same argument that the Thames Water used, that blue-green technologies was are too expensive, they take too long and too much disruption.
And what did we get? Things
Well,
taking far too long and too much disruption.
and now the water disaster is spreading from the whole country, and now it's spreading out into the oceans as an ecological disaster for the whole country, with the effect of the pollution on the seagrass meadows. It's destroying the climate change mechanisms around the coast. So the disaster can only be exaggerated until it's solved. And the only way to solve it is to take back control of the water companies for a start, because Selma seems to be making, or the Labour Party is making, fundamental economic mistakes. I mean, relying on monopolies is one of the basic tenets of economics, is that they don't work, right? Because of the monopoly effect. I mean, you try to avoid monopolies because of the lack of competition.
And therefore, I suppose checks and balances, but also innovation in the sense of not just for its own sake, but actually as a guardrail.
Yeah, it's the same as the fossil industry. They had a monopoly. They achieved a monopoly, and so they saw the renewables as the competition that they had to get rid of. That's why they're actively working against renewables, because they're competitors, and so they want to maintain monopoly. This is the monopoly effect. It's the monopoly effect that is doing the damage economic.
And it's sort of, I suppose it's maybe it's a sort of proxy imperialism, isn't it? In terms of if you've got a government with similar ambitions or who's linked to ones that have or sees the modern world as being predominantly organized that way, there will be a desire to make this sort of linkage or fall in step behind it. But at the same time, very often, as you've been hinting at, this is very often the beginning of the end for civilizations, isn't it? When everything gets a little bit too big.
Well, no, the theory is that once it's the difference, the economic difference between the poor and the rich, it's not the absolute difference. It's the perception of the difference that
Yes, right.
causes collapse. Once the majority realize they're being ripped off by the rich, then they just do everything. They give up all the constitution, and just to get rid of this is the Farage effect,
I was going to
even a
say that's a
voting
perfect
Farage.
demonstration of that, Graham. Thank you.
Yeah,
Yes. Because you
because
see, these people voted in, and you that we even though people can see across in other parts of the country they're sort of messing up, or they're having to do
well,
the opposite of what they promised, it
yeah,
doesn't matter until it matters.
they're voting because they don't care how it's changed, as long as it's changed. And Farage,
Yes.
is his basic lie is that he's going to change it.
Yeah.
He's just going for the power. I mean, that is populism.
Well, there was a pollster suggesting that reform have the patina of encouraging a bit of nationalisation, just a bit of it. I think Mal was saying this the other week. They're very good at adopting the raiment of the opposition, aren't they? And saying, we were misrepresented by the media, notwithstanding the fact that they've been on it every 5 seconds, or Farage has. As you say, it's a sort of protest vote in a sense, isn't it? Because it begins with anger. It begins, since they're a company rather than a political party, it becomes with the idea of a sort of a sort of professionalized perpetual state of protest.
Yeah, but it's the destructive aspect. The people are voting for the destructive aspect
Yeah.
because they think that's the only way they can change, is if you destroy the existing. And that's the difference. It's a kind of version of the death wish, basically.
Yeah.
They just are so against Labour or existing institutions, basically. Because they've been persuaded by liars.
Well, people have suggested, haven't they, that the Labour Party has a kind of internal death wish, in terms of having sold its soul to the Palantirs of this world and others. You're suggesting the fossil fuel industry as well, which means that they are hollowed out. There are people hanging in there vestigially who are just John McDonalds and Richard Burkins and whatnot, who are pointing this out on a regular basis. But it fascinates me that they're still there.
Well, no, I think the Labour always has that contradiction because it has to use the communists, basically. It can't get rid of the communist base of the Labour Party, which is based on Marxism. And
Sydney Beatrice
in a
Webber,
way, now
Angus Moyers, Bracken.
they go to the capitalists. Because the capitalists learned from Marx, how to exploit people even more. And so they have the contradiction of having to work with the enemy, so to speak.
Was it James Callaghan who said rather ironically, "I'm the man who waters the workers' beer."
Yeah, that was
Yes.
a very good nostalgic last week, remembering James Callaghan.
Isn't it? And I wonder what he'd make of the pickle that Starmer's in at the moment. If indeed pickle it is.
Well, I think he'd say keep calm and carry on sort of thing,
Yeah.
because he is making it's a question of how fundamental his mistakes are, and they are pretty fundamental. And I think he will because he's not giving Robbins his job back, which is a blatant injustice. And
You
getting
don't
rid.
want to piss off the civil servants, do you? Excuse my language, but you really
Well,
don't.
they're there to support him, and they
Yeah,
could have
right.
protected
Yes.
him. They were the ones to protect him. So he's getting rid of his best support, his most reliable support, because they have a
Yeah,
duty to
in Jim
support
Hacker style, who would get him out of jail, and
him.
presumably
Yeah,
will know will be rather
exactly.
less available for that now.
Because they don't have to agree with him, they just have to apply what his wishes are. So it's definitely everyone always knew that he probably didn't have the what it takes. But it's very sad to see it playing out the way it has.
It's it, when the wheels come off psychologically, it's a difficult moment, isn't it? When you're having this for the moment, I mean, it's easily parodied, and I would fully defend the, the ability of satirists to do this. But at the same time, if it's as persistent as this sort of Walter Mitty aspect of the man. Then it really, I think, becomes sort of existentially the point of no return, doesn't it? Somewhat. I don't know how you can certainly can keep on and be competent as Major did with some success, but I
Well,
mean, what do you? Yeah, I mean, how would the Labour Party cope without him, basically? I mean, what do you think of people who might be stepping up, or are they stepping up into a sort of rhythm that he's? That it, or an oil tanker that can't be that easily turned around.
no, it is in the political cycle. I mean, it happened to Blair as well. He lost 1,000 seats, apparently, at this sort
That's
of
right, 2 years in, I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
time. Which was at the time seen as catastrophic, but he turned it around, and I think Starmer can do the same thing if he does the
With
right
Blair, is
thing.
that he's sort of at his side a bit, isn't he?
If he does the right policies, can pull him through, because the Farage success just gives everyone the time to see how they actually perform when they're in power.
Yeah, enough rope, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. Now, give them enough rope, and they seem to be taking enough rope to hang themselves.
It's an
Hopefully.
unpleasant thought, but it is sort of it's a brutal world out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
And
not normal.
yeah, I wanted to ask you briefly about Zach Polanski, whom many people pinned hopes, and we don't know in London for a few hours yet because Lambeth and Southwark won't be declaring the mayoralties in excuse me in Lewisham and here at Croydon won't be declaring, and various other places. Scotland and Wales. We don't know how they're going to be faring, or indeed what the party makeups are going to be. Do you have a sort of, as it were, a Mystic Graham prediction of this? I mean, what might we be looking at some flips? Do you think Polanski, in particular, has got something of that Starmer staying power about him, or is it too early to tell?
Well, it's in a way down to the first past the post system, whether he's
Yes.
got enough to get seats. It's a very narrow thing, I think. That's why it's impossible to predict.
It's been certainly the case regionally here that that's been a key factor. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Share of the vote goes up, seats go down.
Depends on the turnout. The number of people voting tactically, as well as people just voting for the people they want in. So we don't know, but I think, I mean, it could be that they don't do it quite as badly as they. I think they have been sort of exaggerating the failing. I'm not sure the failing is going to be so big. But
Well,
that
speaking of Labour, yeah.
I might be completely wrong on that, but
It's a,
hopefully
it's.
it won't be so bad. So they'll be able to recover, claiming some sort of success of not being a disaster.
Am I reading you right here, Graham? It's almost as if it's not, as you say, it's not about the perpetual sort of competitive edge of these institutions. It's actually about their integrity as being core to a functioning democracy. So that, for example, as somebody said of the Tory Party, you have the potential post-Badenoch for a bit of One Nation to come back in somehow or other, or that moves over to the Lib Dems, who haven't really courted that One Nationness enough, but could. And then the fact the role of the Greens in the first part of the post system.
Yeah, I think it's the unspoken factors. I think the Conservatives are losing are no longer credible because of Brexit. They're identifying Brexit still, and they can see what the Conservative did to the country overall. I
As
mean,
Leonie was saying last week, Cameron walked back to his gypsy caravan whistling ever so furtively, having left the palace with his resignation.
he abandoned ship. I mean.
Kind of, yeah.
But I think also the Labour voters have begun to see, those who are following the politics have begun to see that he is beginning to have an effect. That they do have a plan,
This
and they
point that
are
Lambie's making, that they just the optics haven't been fast enough, but things are rolling.
exactly, and people are just frustrated, egged on by the press. And the populists who are just saying it's never going to happen, and they're not doing it.
This
Well,
is
they
the
are.
point. If you get Murdoch's sort of a tentative support, it doesn't mean to say you're not going to get the those sorts of accusations thrown at you from day one, does it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they
I wonder if we could just shift across, Graham, and sort of conclude for now, think about David Attenborough at 100, somebody who I think is rather diffident about being a national hero. I unintentionally found myself standing about 300 yards from his abode in Richmond, St. Petersham, the other day, with an old friend of mine. And there's something in the air when that man's about. And I get this with you as well. I think you're very much, if I can put it this way, soul brothers. But how do you assess his legacy and the futurity of what he's saying? He's not showing no signs of retirement, but he has reached his centenary.
Right, it's fantastic. Thanks very much for associating me with David
I
Attenborough.
think it's a natural fit. But I'd had you met, actually.
You have?
I thought you might have done. What
No,
are your recollections of
no,
that?
no. We've never met.
Oh, okay.
No, he's just totally good news. No one's found anything on him. I mean, even the press, haven't had a negative thing to say about him, which
Yeah, but David Attenborough, a nude vicar shop, it just wouldn't happen. Would stuck,
it has to be something to do with his association is with animals, I think, because you can't criticize the animals, so it's all the animals are doing all the terrible things of killing and eating people.
This is where my mum used to flinch, and he said she couldn't stand things eating things, but somehow Atterborough makes it all right without being anthropomorphic, particularly, notwithstanding the moment with the chimpanzees.
Yeah, no, I mean the skill of the BBC, I mean, and all the independent film companies, but he's done a fantastic job of leading and coordinating all these filmmakers, and inspiring them basically. I mean, because they all everyone loves him, so they all work for him and cooperate with him. No one's competing with him.
And the physical ordeal of, I think he's written in the press recently, I think there's a new volume of autobiography or something, but the early physical graft of these things was unexpected. They find themselves in the middle of Tasmania or somewhere with and no ability for supplies to be dropped for them, so they had to improvise.
Yeah, it's all real. I mean, they're going to real danger and putting their lives at risk and so on. That's why that the famous shot with the gorillas is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling when it came out, but it's still mind-boggling.
You have to be, I imagine one analogy might be, I mean, from my other working life, dealing with people who are extremely disturbed, and very physically volatile, and somehow just creating a peaceful vibration.
Well, it's well known the calming effect of animals.
Yes,
I
that
think
too, isn't it? Yes, yeah.
they're actually using dogs and pets in hospitals.
I remember horse running therapy with some very disturbed kids I worked with years ago, and it's quite magical. Fishing as well, in an odd way, just really, as you say, it's almost that Attenborough effect, isn't it? Where you are attuned to nature, even when you're watching one of his shows, you are somehow you are right in there, in the seat of the, the thick of the action.
Yeah, because it does put you in the position of safety, watching very
Yes.
dangerous things, which is a very good position to be in.
Now that said, do you feel that that is a brake on people becoming, as it were, benignly radicalized to support nature, or is it potentially just an act in voyeurism?
Well, that's it. I don't think the Greens have got this connection that
Mm.
David Attenborough has set up. I mean, I
It's
think
odd
it
that,
has.
isn't it, with what you were saying about coastal erosion earlier on, or
Yeah.
coastal depredation.
Yeah, but I think he's actually contacting the wild, is communicating with nature. So he gets across, and this is the thing I'm interested in with the Delphic Oracle. When we lost that contact with the Earth, it's the Attenborough approach is direct communication with nature in the
It's a
most.
sort of chimpanzee moment, isn't it? The nearest I come to that is standing in a facsimile of the cot where Beethoven was born in Bonn. There's some energy there.
Right. Well, I mean, that's how the psychology of watching these things, that's how it works. You can identify. And that's what it's about, is that the identifier gives you the satisfaction and the pleasure of being in contact with nature.
Which I suppose we are at one with, aren't we, at best? We ignore that in our peril. That's some of the point you make so volubly so often.
Yeah, that's what we've lost. I mean, but I think there is. Hopefully, people are becoming more interested in it, in the diversity of nature. I mean, this is the awfulness of Trump. He doesn't see any complexity. He only sees things in profit or loss, and so he misses out on everything else.
There's a certain dire poverty of spirit in that proposition, isn't there? And the
Absolutely,
destruction of
yeah.
all that heritage in Iran, before it became politicized.
Well, that yeah, I think that he'll be remembered for that expression, just saying, "Oh well, a civilization may disappear overnight. It may not. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe yes, maybe not." which is the absolute horror of a superpower.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I'm reminded of the not quite at the Attenborough level, but of the wisdom of E.L. Wistie, who once said, didn't he, the whale is an insect.
From what?
The whale is an insect, I suppose, implying that what appear to be unassailable forces of barbarism are actually quite pea-brained.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah, that's the best thing about the Straits of Hormuz. It's demonstrated the superpower of nature, of just simply the geography of the place. And the layout of the Strait of Hormuz. I mean,
It's a wonderful point. It's very elegantly carved, that as a system, isn't it?
yeah, because even graphically, it's so easy to show with all the boats trapped on either side,
Yes.
this little narrow gap that no one can go through because it's surrounded. It's over 190 degrees round the water, so you can't go through it. It's not like going through a strait. I mean, literally a strait. But the Straits of Hormuz are a big curve surrounding any vehicle going through. So they can be got from three sides, rather there's only one side that is they're not being fired at from, so to speak.
It's an odd thing, isn't it? I remember somebody saying to me of the Americans in Afghanistan that they could have done far better if they'd taken the trouble to do a bit of covert surveillance of the hillscape where the Taliban hid out, which they knew like a London cabbie knows the knowledge, literally every little inclination. So they could, and again, it's the sort of strategy that animals adopt so well, isn't it? In terms of hunting and indeed survival, they just know the turf in a way that our technological broad brush tends to rather poo-poo.
And this is what Attenborough has shown us. You can see it, and so we have a sort of huge gratitude. It's a very interesting. He's almost overtaken royalty, I think, in respect and honor, in a sense, because he's earned it.
That's
It's just,
beautifully put, Graham. And I think the whole thing is handled very graciously from that point of view, isn't it?
yeah, it comes out of creativity. It's a much better thing than
Charles the Environmentalist.
the entitlement of the royalty. But yeah, well, let's hope the 100th, because being 100 also is phenomenal. So it will last.
It is. It's not. It's a different thing. He may have broken bread with a lady called Thelma Cooper, who was in Coronation Street years ago. Who should the Capability Brown Estate in Wimbledon Park development be weighed through by Burton Council? Is going to chain herself to one of these ancient trees, and she's turned 100 about 6 months ago. She beat me up the stairs in her penthouse to look at this extraordinary view.
Incredible.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is. Anyway, well, here's to keeping on keeping on. Graham, as ever, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week with the usual suspects.
Here's to old age, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Cheerio.
Yeah.